without further ado, welcome back to CYC's Fellow-Led Podcast, Personal Statement, Episode 4. Here we sit down virtually with influential community leaders and showcase how they make a statement in the community and beyond. So I'm your co-host, Praise Zampansa, a freshman at Brown University. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm currently undecided, although I am considering pre-med or international relations.
And I'm your co-host, Enrique Santos Ortiz, a sophomore at the University of Miami, pursuing my bachelor's in architecture with a minor in mechanical engineering. And I'm a WINGS scholar recipient of class of 2018, and my pronouns are he, him, his.
So, Enrique, I know that now that you're a sophomore, you already had somewhat of a freshman year before we went online and everything, compared to, I know, a lot of the class of 2020. We're just starting our freshman year online through Zoom. So I have to wonder, how was it like going from, you know, being in person, these classes, seeing everyone up close and personal, and then it's like Zoom? How was that?
Yeah, making the change from in-person to online was not easy, and it's still not easy. Attending school in person, you have the opportunity to make that personal connection with the professors, as well as like other students like from around the world. The motivation is not the same as if you were in person, because it's a little bit more difficult, because you do not have like your friends or like your support group like at an arm's length reach. And that's something like great for my freshman year, was making like learning different cultures and making the connection within the community.
All right. Okay. Props to you then. So CYC must have a great network of people, because this is just episode 4 and we already have our first professional athlete stopping by. So joining us today to make a statement is Harold Varner III, also known as HV_3 across social media. So Mr. Varner is an American pro golfer raised near Gastonia, and he's just one of a handful of African-American professional golfers. And today we will discuss his journey and how he plans to grow the game of golf.
Thanks for having me. I'm so sorry. It's been pretty crazy around my house. I haven't got power washing the house, but I'm honored to be here. You know, it's pretty cool to hear y'all's story, and I've never hosted anything, so I think you're doing an awesome job, and I wish I was in Miami with the other guy.
Yeah, that's sweet. And to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Buckle up. Let's get personal.
So, since you're the third, and all good things come in threes, as they say, we want to tee off with a game called HV3's Top 3. So, I'll give you a category, and you'll answer them with your top 3 choices. Are you ready?
All right.
All right. Okay. So let's start with the first one. What's your top 3 warm-up songs?
I can't hit balls and listen to music because I start singing. So it's more of the shower. I just got married, and there's this song called Crazy Love by Van Morrison. I've been listening to that a lot. And this Big Sean song called Raised by the Wolves. Or it's called Wolves. But all I yell is Raised by the Wolves around the house.
Wow. Well, congratulations to that. Okay. So for our next question, what are your top 3 must-haves while on tour?
I got to have a Beats pill box. I played as loud as I can in my hotel room or whatever house I'm in. A lot of people don't like it, but it's, I love just like turning it on and getting in the shower, and obviously my golf clubs, but they have to be, whenever I travel, I have to like wrap a towel around it so they don't break. I'm pretty OCD about my golf clubs. And I always pack twice as many, I feel like, underwear. I always come back with way more. It's kind of weird. You know, you never know when you might have an accident. So those would be, I guess, the 3 that come to mind right off the bat.
Well, I mean, it's good to always be prepared. So
I got my wedding ring on the last trip, so my wife wasn't too thrilled by that. It cuts the circulation off of my finger.
Okay. Alrighty.
She's staring at me right now.
Alright. So, for our next question, and I guess our last one, so what's your top 3 victory dances?
I'm obviously a big Cam Newton fan, Panthers fan. I like to dab every chance I get. That's what I would do everywhere. I can't wait for him to start dabbing in New England. I can't believe I'm pulling for New England. So, yeah, I would just dab everywhere. I'd just be like, and then I would, I don't know. That'd be my number one. That'd be 1, 2, and 3. I would just love to win and just dab right as the ball goes in. I don't know if it'd be a super, you know, it'd probably be frowned upon in the golf world, but it would be me, and I'm totally comfortable with being me.
Awesome. Can't go wrong with the tried and true. So thank you for letting us and our audience get to know you a little better. And a lot of people like to golf, like myself, but, you know, I'm still working on my arm, still working on my golf arm. So don't ask how I'm going. So I want to know, how do you like to spend your free time?
I love hanging out with people that, like, I guess are very, that I grew up with or been really good friends with. And I love to eat. If I was standing up, you would notice. So I enjoy hanging out with people that, you know, just, I guess, are like-minded or challenge me in some kind of way. That's it's always been a thing I want to do. I like being around people that I can ask questions of where they want to go in life and how I can, you know, sometimes it's a kid, how can I be a part of it? How can I help it? But it's also people I look up to so I can say, hey man, what can I do to change, you know, my path, my journey to make it better? So that's the biggest thing. I love learning. So that's my number one thing is if I can learn something every day, I'm getting closer. I'm learning more about myself, about, you know, I need to do a better job of that with my wife, but like that's the goal in life, I think.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, having those people around you, always wanting to improve on yourself. And one of the questions that we have is like, was golf love at first sight?
I don't really know. I was so young. The only thing I remember the most about golf as a kid, obviously being, I'm only 5'8", so when I graduated high school, I was like 4'11", I bet, maybe 5 feet tall. So height was always a problem and weight. But the one thing I remember the most is playing by myself. You could always get better by myself. Like I'd get dropped off at the golf course. I never needed anyone to get better. I could just figure it out. Like just, you know, so that's what I love about it. Every time we played any other sport is like, man, he won't play. We need one more. You know, that's just unfortunate sometimes, but if you're in the right part of the world, it's easy to get people to play with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And did you ever try like any other sports besides golf before going professional in golf?
Yeah, I tried basketball. Obviously, that wasn't a good choice. And then I'm pretty selfish when it comes to like, I want to be out there the whole time. So, my freshman year, I played JV and I didn't start and I didn't like that so much. So I quit. That's probably the first thing I didn't see through.
Yeah, no, for sure. I understand that. And what would you say your biggest adjustment you had going from college to making the PGA Tour?
The biggest adjustment was doing the things off the course. When you're in high school is easy, you know, like you kind of just mess around and you just play sports. That's pretty much what high school is. You meet people, you know, like when I got to college, school got like a little harder and all I wanted to do is, you know, figure out how I can get better at golf, and college was a part of it. My main thing was what was I going to do in these tournaments? How was I going to prepare? And I'll never forget, my freshman year, I like kind of, you know, like I was skipping class and it turned out to be, I was skipping enough class where I couldn't play in the next tournament. And it was just so eye opening how if things off the course are really good for me, like in line, it's easier to play golf. And I've kind of used that my freshman year as a way to, for my life. You know, if there's a problem, confront it, ask about it, figure out how we can, if there's not a solution, what's the best, what direction to go. So I've used that as I guess an example, and it's paid off pretty well.
That's amazing. And what would you say people don't realize about your life on the tour?
If you don't like to travel, it's not that fun. I love getting airplanes. I don't mind getting on red eyes. I don't have a kid yet. So all I hear about the guys on tour complaining about traveling with kids, like, I guess the car seats and all that. But like, in my eyes, I kind of like, I'm looking forward to embracing that. Like, that's a part of it. Like, if you told me I was going to play for $1 million for 20 years of my life, you know, like every tournament, I would carry 10 car seats in one hand and 10 in the other and figure out how to get there and just enjoy the opportunity. It's more fun than you can even imagine. So, yeah, is it going to be easy? No, I mean, if it was easy, everyone would do it. So I enjoy the hard part of it. If I play well, I can afford to do cool things in life, but also get to share it with other people.
Great. So while we're on the subject of other people, so I know that your dad inspired you to play golf. So can you tell us a little bit about the formation of this passion?
My dad said he needed someone to play with. So he basically just like gave me the little Fisher Price clubs. I mean, I don't know how old, I mean, I feel old, but like back in the day, they used to have these Fisher Price clubs that came in a plastic blue tube and had yellow like clubs. I hadn't seen them in a while, but it was a big deal. And ever since then, I've kind of been hooked. And then my dad got me a set of golf clubs when I was like 7. So then it was just kind of like, drop me off at the golf course. Like, I want to go to the golf course. And ever since then, I kept getting better. And then when I turned 16 is when I really started to like understand what I could do with golf. My parents had never been to college. So I was like, I want to go to college. And I knew we couldn't really afford it. And I was kind of good at golf. And I wanted to go to school for as cheap as I could. If it was free, didn't matter. I wanted to figure that out. And golf was going to be that. It kind of got me in trouble because like, I focused way more on golf because I was like, I want to go to school for free. And then I kind of slacked off in the educational part.
I guess that having passions that really just almost overtake everything else.
It shouldn't have.
So, but when was the moment that you realized like you were good enough to go pro?
I'd say my junior year in college. I'll never forget. We came home from a tournament and, you know, I was looking at the RNA rankings and you kind of like keep track of them because they, you know, like if you're X amount, you don't qualify for the USAM, you just automatically get into it. And one day I looked at it and it said I was 19th in the world. And I was like, you know, I said a lot of words like that I can't say right here. It just opened my eyes. Like I'm 19th in the world against everyone in the world. Why can't I not make it? Like, you know, I was just like, always believed in myself, but then like when you start seeing numbers, you start seeing the things that like your work like just come true, you're like, all right, let's do this. And I never really thought about working after that. I was like, I started treating every practice as like a work, like, hey, what did I do to get better? And we used to have this thing my coach used to get us to do is write down what you did that day. And after 6 months you start seeing what you did and you're like, it makes it easier to compete because you know you put in the time.
For sure. I think that's a really good point that you bring up about writing stuff down and like, what did you do? Like, how can I improve? Because that's something like I kind of do on a daily basis too, is like, learn from my mistakes and how can I better myself? And after that realization you had, you were recruited to play at ECU, is that correct?
Yeah, it was, I went there with my mom and it's pretty funny. I went to a football game and if anyone knows anything about football, Chris Johnson was playing. He played at ECU. And we went on the sidelines and like my mom talked to the coach and I was just like, my mom was like, you know, what are you doing when I showed up to the game? Obviously I go home, we leave. And on the way back, my mom's like, you're going there because of the coach, like my mom and Preston Fall, hit it off and I didn't really have an option to go anywhere else. I kind of wanted to go there, but you know, like I guess, you know, sometimes you just don't have options in life and it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's honestly sometimes all you gotta say at the end of the day. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah, you just keep going.
Keep going, yeah. So I know that ECU has a little bit of a reputation of being a party school. And we're fellows looking to attend your alma mater. So what should a student looking at ECU know about the school?
Yes, it's known for a party school, but it's changed a lot. Like from when I go back and visit to when I first went there, I think it's just passionate people that, the coolest thing about it is when you go to Greenville, North Carolina, everything's about East Carolina. When you go to Charlotte, like say you go to UNCC, I mean, there's other stuff to do there. When you go to Greenville, it's all, well, how's the football team doing? How's, you know, it's just an experience that, I hope everyone has that experience in school. I just had a great time. Everything's really cheap. There's great food and even better people. And that's kind of how the same community I grew up in Gastonia. So it's, I was super fortunate it's a lot of fun. Like, if you love meeting people, it's a great place. Man, I was, there's a lot of things I could say that you'd have to ask more specifically, but obviously football runs everything. I had a great coach, I had great teammates, but the facilities are just as good, you know, so it's a great opportunity to better yourself. It's not very close. You know, if you don't like being in a car for a long time from Charlotte, it's not awesome, but, it's a lot of fun.
I know. While we're on that topic of fun and having like memories and things at college, because, you know, they do say that college is the best 4 years of your life. So could you share any memorable moments from your time at ECU?
On here, the best one's Halloween. So in Greenville, downtown's like, it's like two little blocks, you know, and you, that's where you go downtown. But like Halloween's like a big deal, like a really big deal. So, you know, you weeks prior, you're trying to figure out what you're going to wear, all your teammates, you know, some like one day a year we did Power Rangers, all this stuff. But one year I did Papa Smurf. So like I had to get, you know, like you can't tell because I don't know how to cut on the lights in my house. But I have like a little scruff right now and I had to like put this glue on and all this stuff, you know, like to look like Papa Smurf, painted my face. Like painted my body and everything, and I had like blue sleeves. It was awesome. Like red, you know, pants. So I'll never forget. I woke up the next day and then like, you know, I'm trying to get it off because we got to go to practice. And the glue I bought was like real glue. Like you couldn't.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. So I had holes in my like in my beard, and I couldn't. Yeah, it was terrible. That was my best memory of Halloween, but like. The coolest thing that, from the golf side of it is my senior year, we made it to the national championship. And that was, the first time that East Carolina had ever made it in golf. So, you know, obviously I wish we would have played better there, like while we were there, but, you know, to be the first to do something is pretty cool in my eyes.
Yeah, no, for sure. Being the first, I know, like for me, like being, not connect like kind of sports, but, you know, the idea of being first, I'm a first gen student. And it's a lot of, you kind of put a lot of pressure on yourself. Would you say that you probably did some pressure on yourself or not?
I did, if I put pressure on myself, I didn't feel it. Like I didn't, I don't think I'm really like, I always felt like I was doing well, you know, like, hey, you know, you're learning, you know, like it's not like it's easy. So no, I don't put much pressure on myself because if it just makes it way harder. Like I said earlier, if you're doing the right work, you're doing the right things, good things are going to happen. It may not happen when you want them to happen, but when it's going to happen, you know, like if you're putting the time in. So why put pressure on yourself? Like instead of putting pressure on yourself, put more time in doing what's right, like work at it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I strongly believe in that idea of like work hard now and then like play, like, you know, Your hard work will be compensated later on. I mean, it might not be at the moment, but, you know, little by little, step by step, at the end, it's going to be all worth it, to be honest. And just kind of switch it up. You were quoted in Gold Digest saying, quote unquote, don't be afraid to hit the big shot. What other important lessons have you learned along the journey and from others?
It's not what you know, it's who you know. That is, I've always been told that, and it couldn't be any truer. You know, people, at the end of the day, like, what's killing us with COVID is just not being able to sit down and talk to people, enjoy, like, hey, you know, just, hey, how are you doing today? You know, obviously, you know, for the elderly, it's, you know, you just don't know how the virus is going to react, but I'm noticing, like, what, as a kid, like, just, hey, how are you doing? Like, it means so much to the people, you know? So, I always thought it was important, but during this time right now, during COVID, it's even more important because obviously I got married and like important people in my life left because of, I wanted to say hello to those people. That was an important part of, that's an important part of my life. And so that's the biggest thing is just cherish the moments you have with the people that obviously love you. You know, you're going to run into people. And I, as I get older, I'm learning that I'm that to someone else and being that is more important than man, it's more important than being the best player, best golfer in life. You know, like, how can you impact somebody's life to make it better? I had a lot of people do that to me, so it's easy for me to do it to someone else, but that's where you get true value and true happiness, is how you can invest in someone else.
Yeah, definitely, because life is really about what you get from other people as well as what you give out to other people.
Yeah.
And it sounds like community is a really big thing for you. So we want to know, who are the people that you would say have helped you the most in your journey? And who are the people that you say that you've helped the most?
Oh, man, I'm not old enough to help that many people. So we're going to leave that one, because give me some time. Because,
right.
I mean, I like the foundation stuff. But there are, I would say, four important people. My parents, obviously my mom and my dad, just taught me what was right from wrong. Didn't have anything to do with golf, but, like, if you know what right from wrong as a kid, it makes life a lot easier. And I see a lot of kids that don't have that, so I cherish that. I see them all the time because they live in Gastonia. A guy named Bruce Sutter. When I turned 16, I was working at Gaston Country Club, and he was teaching out there. Just like, that's all he did. He taught. He didn't do anything else. He just wanted to teach really good players. And I asked him to, you know, would you look at my swing? I want to play in college, you know, in the next couple of years. Can you help? And he goes, I'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. This guy has taught me since I was 16 until I was 26 years old, maybe 27. So 10 years of my life. And he just taught me how to be a professional. Not everything's always about being hit the best shot, but how you carry yourself, how you talk to people. So he just taught me how to be an ultimate professional. Another guy would be Press McFall. Obviously, he was my college coach. He just always was in my rear end, you know. So it wasn't pretty. I don't know if a lot of people would like it, but it was what motivated me. It's what I like. I like that high intensity. I love that you ain't good enough type thing. And some people don't like that, but I truly enjoy it. And a guy named Bill Williamson, who, I met him when I was 13 through a friend of my dad's. And when I turned professional, he helped raise money so that I could, obviously play golf. It's not cheap to play professionally when you first get out. So those would be the most important people that I could, you know, obviously Bill Will turned into, you know, a guy that I eat lunch with all the time. You know, like my wife lost her brother, I guess, 3 years ago, and he had been through the same thing as a father. So, like, literally, I mean, I had lunch with Bill Will probably every off week, at least one time that week. And he would just talk, how's Amanda doing? How are you doing? So it's, and he introduced to a guy named Jim Hahn. So I've had unbelievable people. That's why I always talk about them. They're important to this world. So those would be the most important people in my journey right now.
Okay, so it sounds like you've had a lot of tough love along the way.
Man. I wouldn't change it. Yeah. It's good for you.
Sounds like you had quite a bit of tough love, but that's what you got to do to, you know, become a big shot like you are now. So
you'll know when I'm a big shot. I'll be sitting in front of you. I'll be able to just fly to you and be like, how can I help?
I'll be waiting. So, so now, CYC, speaking of big shot, we want to step up and take our big shot with Mr. Varner. So we'll give you three scenarios, and on a scale of 1 to 5, you can vote how possible it is. That sound okay?
All right.
So first one. Okay. So CYC follows you on Instagram and Twitter. How likely would it be that we get a follow back?
5 is likely.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd probably say 10. I gotta find my password though.
There we go. All right. You can expect a little request or whatever. So let's see, next one. So if they're able to have fans at the Wells Fargo Championship, are you able to help us get tickets to watch you play?
I think I know a person that can figure that out. But here's what you gotta do. You gotta somehow get in touch with me like a couple days before. I don't do really well with like a month in advance, because I'll get a message and I'll be like, oh, I forgot. and then I'll be scrambling. So as long as you do it last minute, I'll get it done.
Say less. Okay. You can work with that. So how about this? Will you visit us at the youth union once it's safe?
Yes, that's easy.
Awesome. Okay, you got fives all across.
It's got to be last minute too, though. I'm so I live in chaos. I love it. But you just figure it out.
Okay.
Well, that's unusual to hear, like last minute kind of thing. People always say plan ahead, give yourself some time, but that's quite an interesting approach to take. But you know,
I think people do what they want to do. They do it the way that you respect it, but you need to know what works best for you. And I plan a lot with my wife. I plan zero with the rest of my life. So you just do what works.
I agree. We know that you're a Jordan Brand athlete. I can only imagine the pressure that comes from working with the GOAT. What does Jordan Brand represent to you?
Obviously, I mean, cool story. Fred Whitfield's the reason I'm obviously with Jordan Brand. I met Fred through the Hoopty. I just turned pro, and we won with Andy Warlick and two of my other friends. And then Fred banned all pros from playing in the Hoopty event, which was, you know, unfortunate. I hope he's watching and he sees this, because we should pros back in. But I guess Fred mentioned it to MJ about getting in the golf, you know, business, clothing and shoes. And I was just fortunate enough to be the guy. And man, it's been super cool, man. I get to talk to MJ. I get to learn from him. I'll never forget when I shot 81 at the PGA. He said, call me tomorrow morning. I was like, all right. So I called him the next day. And usually when we talk, I'm just picking his brain, but like he was giving me a lesson. Like it was 20 minutes of just pure, like not getting ahead of yourself about like, I mean, it's just hard to win. Like when I get close, all I think about is winning. And he was talking about how you just got to slow down. And, that part of it is way cooler than any shoe that's out, in my opinion. Any shoe coming out, the cool stuff, like that cool effect, the coolest thing is being able to pick Michael Jordan's brain. You know, like, I've gotten to do some cool stuff, don't get me wrong. But when you get to sit there and ask someone about, you know, just how do you process things after, you know, when they don't go well, to how you need to do it next time, that you were talking about earlier, you need to learn from your mistakes, what better person to ask?
On that topic, I mean, golf is like a pretty traditional game, you could say. You know, what is it like to wear Jumpman on course?
It's freaking awesome. What do you mean? No, it's cool. It's a traditional sport, but like, if you watch it regularly, it's changing. Like, you know, I'm not the only one that wears Jordan shoes. I think if you don't know anything about the sport, that's what it looks like. It's changing. I think more people are going to, the right people are trying to grow the game. And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I can imagine. You know, in talking about that change, like changing in what ways would you say?
So, the biggest thing that that happened in my life is when I was growing up, they had a muni course. You pay $100 and from June 1st until September 1st, Monday through Friday, my parents would drop me off at the golf course. Like if I wasn't playing in a tournament, I was at the golf course. So access to, you know, is the biggest thing in anything. Like if a kid wants to be good at, you know, golf, baseball, whatever, he needs to have the place to be able to practice, work at it. Cause at that age, all it is time. It's not, you know, that you're talented, but you need to do it more than the next person next to you. It's going to change because I think that there's more athletes playing golf, you know, like, look at Dustin Johnson. I mean, he's a freak athlete. I mean, you're going to have more people like that that want to play golf. I mean, I think back in the day, like, I don't think golf was really that cool before our time. Like, you know, 50 years ago, I don't think I'd want to play golf. Just my opinion. Now you're having kids that are like, man, I'd love to play some golf. Man, it's cool. It's fun. It's changing. I'm proud of this sport. I think it recognizes that it needs a change. It needs to make it, the reason it's going to change is based off of access, not based off of you just being like, oh, it's a feel good thing. We're going to donate to this or that. No, hey, man, I want to go play with the kid. I want to go see what this kid's about. Like, if we're at a golf course, join up with that kid, you know, just stuff like that. Embrace that, like, it was some kind of way, like you said, like, very traditional. And how can I be a part of changing that?
Thank you. In 2018, I was CYC's first fellow to become a Jordan Weiss Scholarship recipient. And if it wasn't for the partnership with CYC and Jordan Weiss, my path to college honestly would have looked a little bit different. But as a sophomore at the University of Miami, the support and the mentorship provided to scholars means a great deal to me. And I can definitely understand why one of like the Jordan Weiss values is freedoms. Overcoming a trying circumstance and achieving personal freedom. So for you, were there any like trying circumstances that have made you who you are today?
Yeah, there's been a lot. There's been a lot, but I've never sat there and thought about it. On the golf side, I guess my second year on tour, I almost lost my PGA Tour card. Just a crazy year. Amanda obviously went through her thing, and I just wasn't playing very well. I was worried about her. I was worried about everything except take care of business, protect the dream. That's the most important thing. Like, because if that's taken care of, you can do a lot of good from that. So I'll never forget. I was the last day I had to, I ended up like 68, and I ended up finishing. So it's top 125. I ended up finishing 123 or 124, and just that grind that like your job is on the line, it made me realize how fortunate I was, because I couldn't imagine like being on that grind in a real like 9-to-5 and having to feed someone, you know what I mean? So yeah, it was a grind, but like in the grand scheme of things, I can work. I know I have a work ethic. I have a smile. I have heart. I have belief. I have the things that like just keep people going. You know, bad things are going to happen to good people, and the great people learn to just step right through it and keep going. So that would be the thing in the golf world. I'm trying to think of something in my life. Injury scares me. I've only been hurt one time where I couldn't play golf, and I am terrified to get hurt, but I'm pretty crazy, so that, you know, it comes with it, I guess.
Okay, so it sounds like you're definitely a really well-rounded person, and you like to take your time to remain authentic, which is something that we can all appreciate, I'm sure. And another Jordan Weiss value is actually authenticity. So who or what keeps you grounded in your authenticity in your personal and professional life?
My upbringing just didn't have much. Just knowing that all of it can be taken away tomorrow. So appreciate it, enjoy it. Smell the roses, because one day it ain't gonna be this pretty. So that's always helped me a lot. Just always have a perspective of that it's never as good as it is, and it's never as bad as it is. So like, take the good with the bad and keep rolling. It's a journey for a reason. It's not a sprint. So that's always the easiest thing. I always have a thing to fall back on, of just knowing that like my parents, they worked their tail off to give me an opportunity. And I'm just trying to make the most of it.
So I like what you mentioned about opportunity, especially since so many of the CYC fellows, we do come from low income backgrounds. A lot of us are first or second generation Americans or even college students. So we're definitely learning to, you know, take any opportunity that we have and just learning from it. So and that's one of the greatest things about CYC. It's like that they try to eliminate the educational resource gap. And we know that you're one of a handful of Black golfers on tour. So what are your thoughts on what is needed to level the playing field and make golf more inclusive?
Oh, man, it's easy. I already told you. It's access. Like, every kid's got to have the same chance to do what the other kid wants to do. And until that changes in any sport, it's all going to be the same exact way. So like, no matter what color you are, no matter where you're from, you should be able to work as hard as you want. And that's not always the case in golf. And the reason I had that is because of access. Think about it. I'll spend $100 on the dumbest things in life. think about it. My parents, I'll never forget, paid it in two installments, like when they got their paycheck 1 week and then $50 a time. I grinded for this $100 so that I could play golf for 4 months. Unbelievable. So I just kind of, you know, it's just got, you got to have that same playing field. Cause like once there's access, then the kid can choose if he really wants to go pursue it. He can let him have the option, but don't be to the point where access is so hard that, well, I'm just going to go to the Y and shoot some basketballs. And if I'm good at it, like that's so piss poor as America, man. We live in the greatest country in the world. Like we're going to do better. We know there's a problem. And like I said earlier, I just, I want to be a part of the solution. I want to change that.
I definitely understand that for sure. Yeah. So it's definitely a lot of sacrifices that the people before us have made to get us to where we are. And on what you said about access, is that the impact that you hope to have with the HV3 Foundation?
Exactly. Obviously, when I first started the foundation, you know, like you have this big, like, you know, plan. Like you want a foundation that's going to last for years. And it's going to change people's lives. And I always thought like, hey, it'd be cool if we could do it through all sports. But you kept calling me a big shot. If I was a real big shot, I'd do this in all sports. So right now we just got to stick to golf. But yeah, it's that's the goal, is to make it to where if a kid doesn't have a chance, like if he needs a glove, any whatever that might be, we can find a way to help them. And obviously we're doing it through golf with the foundation because it's important to me. It changed my life. It taught me a lot of values without even knowing it. And it's the best sport in the world. And that's super biased.
Hey, so it sounds like a lot of HV3's goal is providing and once again, giving that access. So could you tell us some more background information so our audience can know more about HV3 and what inspired you to do this?
Well, at first I just wanted to raise money to just give it away, just sponsor a kid at a club or something like that. And that wasn't very, you know, talking about being a professional. I started asking people, learning, and we're like, well, we should start a foundation. How do we do it? Blah, blah, blah. We did it. So then we started figuring out things where like this thing called Youth on Course. So it's $5 for a kid between 6 and 18 to play, you know, at, I think there's 50 courses between North and South Carolina. We sponsor that in North and South Carolina. Like, get behind the things that you really believe in and what you can do to change it. And that's what it is. Like, a kid, it should be that cheap. Like, it should be. So, we're doing little things. The biggest thing for me is, like, I'm not really in the education. It's not really my thing. But as I get older, I see how important it is that not every kid's going to have the same talent, same work ethic as me. But with knowledge, he can do more than these. So we, I would like to, before I die, to have something in place for like a scholarship that helps a kid that's, you know, that was in my shoes, like go to school, even though he can't play golf. So, you know, there's big things that we want to do, but those are two things that are the most important: access to obviously golf. And then as that keeps getting bigger and keep, you know, sharing my story, I think, and playing well, I think good things will happen where we can raise enough money to do that in sports like basketball and baseball, you know, sponsor a team. Oh, it'd be awesome. I mean, that's more money that the parents get to keep in their pocket to put food on the table or go pertain to the other kid, you know, like whatever, you know, that's just how it is. You know, it's why I enjoy taking care of my sister because she's unbelievable smart, but like, guess who got the attention? Oh, herald this, herald that, herald this, herald that. But she had to really do the hard work, do it the real way. And she did one hell of a job. So I love her to death.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. I mean, access and opportunities, you know, CYC helps us with that a lot. You know, so, access to education, access to sometimes if you need support, not sometimes, all the time. They're always there for us.
And we have like interviewed a couple of North Carolina natives who've had a significant impact on their state and country. And you, Mr. Varner, are certainly on that list. So 100 years from now, when people think of HV3, what is the statement that you want to have made in the world?
Well, I hope and pray that in 100 years, you don't remember me because of how I played golf, or what I did on the golf course. I hope you say that he, because what ends up happening is if you help someone, they're going to tell their kids, and then their kids are going to tell their grandkids about how this guy invested in my life, how he helped change my life. And that's the most important thing in life, because that's how you better the world, because then it's a generational thing. It's like, it's just a trickle down effect. So, honestly, I love having fun, but in reality, I really hope that I made the world a better place. Cause like, obviously I've been given a big talent, you know, a lot of shoes to fill, and everyone wants to see me succeed. But like, in my eyes, just cause you have that talent and that desire, what'd you do with it? And that's about it. Like, what do I want to do with it? I just want to change people's lives. I want people to understand that there's hope. There's a lot of great things out there. There's a way that you can be successful in whatever you want to do. Like, if you think it, you can do it. We do live in a country. Like, if you think it, you can legitimately can do it.
Okay. We all have a choice to make a statement daily. What will be your next statement? Thank you, Mr. Varner, for a great conversation, and thank you for tuning in. See you next week.
Hey, y'all have a good one. Enjoy school while you can. I know it's gonna be hard, but I know you'll figure it out. It's what we do.